First Chronicles chapter 27, verses 25 through 34 mentions his counselors and advisors that interacted with him and counseled and advised him. He put others in charge of the vineyards and put others in charge of the crops in the fields. Some he appointed to herd the sheep and the camels and the donkeys and the cattle. And then it ends up by him naming Joab, one of his cousins, the general of his army. And all the jobs that are listed there, all the tasks that are listed there, were all important duties. I mean, all the men that are listed there had a place of service that brought honor and prestige and recognition. Some of these men were probably viewed as heroes, especially those in the army. And I'm sure, you know, nothing new under the sun, Solomon tells us. And I'm sure some of the kids back in that day would look at some of these men and the positions that they held and maybe thought, boy, when I grow up, I want to be just like him. I want to be able to live my life in such a way that the king might pick me to fill that position. Or maybe they didn't do like kids do today. They make pretend that they were one of those men, like Joab or like one of the king's counselors. But there's one man in this list that I want to point out to you tonight that probably no one ever thought about being like him. No one ever held him up as a hero. And probably very few people knew that he existed unless he messed up. I remember when I was appointed a plant manager in my GM career, and it was down at Willow Run, and I went and talked to the plant manager who had been a plant manager for a long time. And I said, you know, I'm new at this game. I need you to help me understand what a plant manager does. He says, well, let me tell you, it's like this. It's like being an engineer on a train that runs on the railroad. When everything is going good, nobody knows you're there. But let the train come off the track, and then you'll figure out what it is to be a plant manager. And I learned that by experience. But this man I'm going to talk about tonight was the same way. I mean, normal course, you wouldn't know. Nobody would know that he's there. Nobody would know his name. Nobody would know that there was even a position that existed like that. But if this man did not do his job, if this man was not faithful to his job, everybody in the whole kingdom, sooner or later, would know. This man is mentioned in verse 28, the last phrase in verse 28, where it says, and over the sellers of oil was Joash. Over the sellers of oil was Joash. He worked in a cellar. He worked in a basement. He worked in a compartment that was cut out of stone. And his duties included overseeing the olives being put into the press and pressing those olives, and then gathering the olive oil into containers and storing those containers until they were needed to either provide light or until they were needed for some medicinal reason. Now, I will tell you, I don't think there was much recognition connected with this job or much honor connected with this job. I think it was a dirty, greasy job. I mean, he was underground, out of sight, and most of the time, out of mind. His job was that of a servant. His job was to give himself to others. In fact, his name, Joash, means to give. And he gave of himself, performing this duty, crushing these olives, gathering up the oil, putting them in storage, and then providing them to the king and others as they needed them. I want to point out to you tonight, and this is the basis of my sermon, that most people in the Lord's service are like Joash. They labor in jobs that there's not a lot of recognition for. They labor in jobs that there's not a lot of honor for. They are unseen, many, many times unnoticed, that do sometimes tedious, hard jobs, and nobody gives them any recognition. Maybe every once in a while somebody says, thank you. Maybe every once in a while somebody says, hey, you really did something today that I noticed, and I want to tell you that I appreciate what you do. But for most of the time, most of the year, most of the times they serve, nobody says thanks, nobody appreciates them. Again, unless they mess up, nobody notices them. And so tonight, I want to use Joash as my jumping off point and the job that he did in the cellars of oil, and I want to make six statements. Number one, his work was not seen by the multitudes, but his work helped the multitudes to see. His work was not seen by a lot of people, but what he did helped a lot of people to see. He provided the oil that powered the lamps, so to speak, throughout the kingdom. The people that lived in the kingdom did not have to walk in darkness. They did not have to grope and feel their way around. They had light that came from the oil, that came from Joash, the keeper of the cellar of oils. Because he did his job, because he was faithful to his job, there was oil for the lamps. There was oil to be used to anoint those that needed to be anointed, and there was oil for medicinal purposes. Whenever any of the citizens of the kingdom had a wound or had something that needed to be healed, they would take this olive oil and they would pour it on the wound, and it was available because Joash did his job. And I want to tell you, there's a lot of people in the Lord's work and there are a lot of people in this church. And there are a lot of people in churches that serve that nobody sees, nobody notices, no recognition is given, no honor is given them. And I want to speak to those people that are here tonight that serve in those positions. You don't get to stand up in front of people. And again, a lot of times nobody says thank you. Nobody says that you're appreciated. But I want you to know that every single person that gets saved as a result of this ministry, you have a part in. Every single person that comes to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, like the 10 that we had saved a few weeks ago at a funeral that we had, and like the one that came the week after that to get saved, and like the many others that have been saved in this place, you that labor in those jobs that nobody sees, you that labor in those positions that nobody recognizes, you that labor in behind the scenes, and again, in those jobs that need to be done, you had a part. In every soul that was saved, you had a part. In every life that was righted, you had a part. In every family that was put back together, and every wayward child that was directed back home, you had a part. And you say, preacher, some of those, I didn't have a part. Yes, you did. You did. Because the job that you do goes together to form this church. This church would not be the church that it is without you. And so every single person, again, I want to say thank you tonight. I appreciate you, and every person that has been saved, every family that has been united, every person that this church has helped, you have had a part in it. A part in it. Your work may not be seen by the multitudes, but your work helps the multitudes to see. Number two, Joash's job seemed small compared to others on the list, but the king depended on him every day and every night. He wasn't a captain in the army or a chief captain. Maybe those jobs were more important. He wasn't a ruler of a tribe. Maybe in man's estimation, that was a more important job. He wasn't a counselor or an advisor to the king. That was an important position. I mean, they had the king's ear. They gave him advice. He wasn't in charge of the vineyard or the field. He wasn't responsible for any group of animals. He wasn't the general of the army. All those positions are important. And yet, I submit to you that Joash's job was just as important. And King David depended on him every night, as the lamps were lit and the houses and the palace and all the other places in the kingdom was illuminated by light. Every day there was oil to pour into the wounds. You might not think your job I'm sorry You might not think your job is as important as somebody else's. You might think, well, the pastor has a more important job, or the assistant pastor has a more important job, or the teachers have a more important job, or the chairman of the deacons or the chairman of the trustees have a more important job. I want to point out to you tonight, God is as dependent on you as he is on me. He is dependent on you as he is our assistant pastor. He is dependent on you as all the Sunday school teachers we have. He is dependent on you as all the trustees and all the deacons. Every day, you influence somebody. Say, oh, no, not me, preacher. I don't influence anybody. Yes, you do. One of the truths I've tried to drill into you over and over and over is that there are people watching you. There are people watching you. And a lot of them are these little kids that run around here. And you impact them. You impact them. So don't ever think your job is less important than anybody else's. Yeah, some of us get to stand up in front. We get to preach and lead the singing and teach and minister in other ways. But don't think for a minute that my job is any more important than yours, because in God's sight, it's not. He depends on you just as much as he depends on me and anybody else that has a place in leadership. Number three, Joash was faithful, realizing that his was a kingly appointment. He was appointed by the king. He was appointed by David, just like Joab was, just like the king's counselors and advisors were, just like the leaders of the tribes were, just like the captains of the army were. The king put him in that position, and he was going to be faithful because David had, before the king had. You see, here's what Joash thought. God didn't pick somebody else. I mean, yeah, he picked somebody else to be the captains, and he picked somebody else to be the advisors, and he picked somebody else to be the heads of the tribes. But he picked me to be the keeper of the cellar of oil. He picked me to oversee the olives and the crushing of those olives and the gathering of the oil and the storage of the oil and the distribution of that oil. He didn't pick somebody else. Yeah, I may not be the general in the army, and I may not be a captain in the army, and I may not have the king's ear, but King David picked me for this job, and I am going to do my best, and I am going to be the best keeper of the cellar of oils that has ever been, because I was put into this position by King David. I think we ought to have the same attitude. I think as we serve the Lord, we ought to realize that we were put there by him. If you're in a job and you don't think God put you there, get out of it. But if you're in a job and you feel God led you into that job and you feel God wants you in that job, then you realize that God has put you there and you realize that he wants you there. He did not pick somebody else to do it. He picked you to do it because he knew you could do it. He gave you the talents to do it. He gave you the faithfulness to do it. And so, again, you may not be a general, you may not be a captain, you may not be have the king's ear, but you got a job that was given to you by God Almighty. And I don't know about you, it makes me feel pretty good that the creator of the universe picked me and put me in this spot, and I believe with all my heart he's put me here. But look, I'm no more important than you are. I have no more monopoly on God's power than you do. You are just as important to God because he selected you and put you into the position you are. You're just as important to God as I am or anybody else. Number four, though it was not a glamorous job, it was an important job because it was his job. I'm sure it was more glamorous to be a general, more glamorous to be a captain, more glamorous to be a counselor, an advisor, a leader of the tribe. And if you were picking based on glamour, Joash's job might be the last one if you pick it at all. Right, Brother Steve? I mean, if you were going to pick a job, all these that I've listed tonight, this would probably be the last one that you'd pick. Who wants to spend their time in a basement crushing olives? Who wants to spend their time underground, out of sight, out of mind, you know, storing up all this oil and storing it in this cellar and then getting it out when people needed it? And if we were going to pick jobs based on glamour, none of us would probably pick this job. But this was his job. It was important. You know, the Bible talks about the church and compares it to a body. And it says, and we know that our body is dependent on all parts doing their job. George was telling me before the service that Dora's feeling a little bit better, but she's still got to go to the doctor when she gets back home and have some work done, probably on her gallbladder. And we all know from probably personal experiences that if a part of our body quits working, the whole body is affected. I mean, and the Bible talks about it. Now, there are some glamorous parts of the body, parts of the body that people see. Your head, your hands, your feet. I mean, if you were going to pick glamorous parts of the body, you wouldn't pick your liver or your gizzard. I mean, you pick the parts that you know, people see. But the Bible talks about the body, for it to function properly, every part has to do its job. It also talks about the members of the body that are less honorable, the uncomely parts or the parts that we can't see. And yet, those parts, if they don't do their job, we will hurt and we will suffer and we will have problems just like, in fact, more so in some of those parts that we can't see than those parts that we can see. I mean, I can hurt my hand and, you know, it will hurt. But if my liver is hurt, it's probably going to do me a lot more harm than if my hand is hurt. Or if my, and I won't go into the rest of them, you know what I'm trying to say. But what the Bible talks about is that for the body to function properly, every part of that body has got to do its job. And I was thinking about this last night when I was thinking about what I was going to preach tonight. I believe in a literal creation. I believe what Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, I believe that God literally created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. I believe on day 6, he took the dust of the ground and he formed Adam, and he breathed into his nostrils and Adam became a living soul. I believe that. I don't believe that he evolved. I don't believe it was divinely controlled evolution. I don't believe none of that stuff. See, I believe what this book says. And I believe that God created Adam. And as he was taking the dust of the ground and he was forming Adam's body, both the inside and the outside, God put that body together and made every part to do a job so that when it functions, every part of the body function, Adam would be healthy. Adam would be whole. Now, I believe that God puts churches together that same way. I believe that God brings people together. I believe God has a will and a plan that if he wants certain people at a church, he'll bring them to that church. And he'll make them part of the body, the church. And I believe that God, and for God's church to operate properly, to operate the way that he wants it to operate, each one of those parts needs to do its job. And when one of those parts doesn't, it's just not that part that suffers. It's the whole body. It's the whole body. You see, God has brought us together as a body, as a church body. And again, he's brought people with different talents. He's brought people with different personalities. He's brought people with different things. And he's put us together just like he put Adam's body together. And he wants us to be healthy. He wants us to function properly. And in order to do that, every part of the body has to do its job. And every part of the body has to realize that its job is important. And again, so I'm the pastor. I get to stand up in front of you 2 or 3 times a week. Adam does too. Doesn't make us any more important. Not one bit.
There are people in this church that do things that nobody, except for a few, know about. And in God's sight, what they do is just as important as what I do. Number five, Joash's job was performed almost totally for the benefit of others. Now, yeah, he used a little oil to light his lights, light his lamps. He used a little oil whenever he had a wound. But for the most part, his work, his job, was for the benefit of others. Now, I want to tell you, as we work together in the Lord, it ought to be the same way for us. What we do, for the most part, the huge majority, ought to be done for other people. For other people, not ourselves. For other people. For other people. I have to apologize to our visitors. I'm not usually this way. It seems when I get a little tired, the Holy Spirit gets a hold of me more. And I realize what a wonderful thing he's made me a part of. This church needs not have its eyes focused inward. It needs to have its eyes focused outward. We are here not for ourselves. We are here for others. Oh, yeah, now, every once in a while, we'll need help ourselves. But our focus should not be on ourselves. It should be on others. How can we help them? How can we introduce them to Christ? How can we help their kids? How can we help their families? And as we reach out to others, that's how we're serving Christ. Jesus said, and he talked about it in the book of Matthew, and he talked about, when I was in prison, you came and visited me, and when I was naked, you clothed me, and when I was hungry, you fed me. And they said, oh, well, no, we didn't do any of that to you, Lord. He said, yeah, you did. When you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And a church that loses sight of who it is serving, we are serving the Lord Jesus Christ as we serve others. And Joash, his job reminds us of that. And then number six, God put his name in the book. One little line, five or six little words. The keeper of the cellar of oils was a man named Joash. I want my name in the book. I know it can't be in that book because that book's already written. But there's a book in heaven called the Book of Life that you only get into by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. My name's in that book. I would like everybody here tonight to know for sure that your name's in that book as well. The Bible says the only way to get your name in that book is to come to Christ and receive him as your Savior. It's not about belonging to some church. It's not about getting baptized. I think both of those are good things. But that's not what will get your name in the book of life. To get your name in the book of life, you have to realize that you're a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You have to realize there's a penalty for that sin. Wages of sin is death. You have to realize that Jesus paid that penalty when he went to the cross and God the Father turned his back on him, and causing Jesus to cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I don't know how long that was. I don't know if it was for the whole time that the sun refused to shine, if it was just a few moments. It doesn't matter if it was just a few moments or it was hours. In those moments, in those hours, Jesus suffered our hell for us. He was separated from God. He paid the price of our sin. And able now to offer to each one of us the gift of salvation through him. So if you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, I beg you tonight, don't put it off. Don't wait. I don't think there's a better time than right now to ask Jesus to be your Savior. In just a minute, we'll give you a chance to come and do that. But I want something else, not only for myself, but for every single person that's here tonight, members of our church, and I know we have some visitors, but my desire is for you to have the same thing. My desire is when you leave this earth and you go to heaven, as Brother Bill prayed a moment ago about Fanny Crosby, about being born blind, wanted that first face that she saw would be Jesus. And when you get to heaven and he meets you there, what I want to hear and what I want each of you to hear are those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I can't sing. I can't do mechanical things. There's a lot of things that I cannot do, but I can be faithful. I can be faithful. And my desire for you is when you see the Savior, "Well done, well done, thou good and faithful servant." Let's pray together. Father, thank you. I know it wasn't much of a sermon, but Holy Spirit, you know my heart. I pray you'd speak to our hearts. And I pray you would do in our life tonight what you know needs to be done. Help us to just strip away all the things that would stand between us and you and just open ourselves up. Say, Holy Spirit, I know you indwell me, but I want you to indwell me more. If there's a part of me that I've held back and haven't let you in, I want you to take it tonight. Take it all. Take it all. Make me like this man called Joash. Out of sight, out of mind. But Father, faithful. Faithful. So you take the invitation tonight. Use it, Father, as you know how to use it. Help us to be obedient as the Holy Spirit speaks. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.